You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
International success coach and noted author Constance Arnold delivers life-changing strategies through her own spiritual practices, as well as with best-selling authors and experts that she interviews. Think, Believe, and Manifest is specially designed to empower your mind and words to work for you and to bring about a life you've been dreaming of. And now, here's Constance Arnold.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network. And of course, I am Constance Arnold, your most gracious host and grateful. And today I am broadcasting from wonderful, exciting, awesome Atlanta, Georgia. I'm so grateful that you joined me today from all over the world. And I can truly say that if you are listening to this recording, that it is no accident. As a matter of fact, it's a setup, and the Spirit of God has attracted you here so that you can receive the downloads, the revelation, the insight, just that one missing piece of the puzzle of your life that you need. And I can truly say that I believe that your life will never be the same again. Well, how can you say that, Constance? Because I believe that when I come every Sunday, I'm coming in the spirit of faith, your faith, my faith, the faith of God is involved in that. You will receive exactly what you need for this day. Well, it is summertime here in Atlanta. It's hot, 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 but it's still awesome. I'm having a great day today. It's a beautiful day looking out of my window. So grateful to God. It's been a busy week for me. During the earlier part of the week, I spoke to 300 employees for the state of Georgia. And it was a very powerful experience for me. I received a standing ovation, and I believe that their lives will never be the same again. So if you have an upcoming event, I would love to help to make your event, your training, your conference a great success. I was their keynote speaker, and we'll probably be doing more things with them. So you can email me at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com. So today, wow, we have a great show today. My show today is with Steve Rogers, and Steve has worked with Warren Buffett for many years. Isn't that something? And he was CEO of a real estate firm that generated $25 billion in annual sales. And he's going to be sharing with us about how do we begin to move from fear to greater success, or how do we begin to be more empowered? And I'm just so excited to hear what he has to say today. Well, let me just share a couple of announcements. Let's see. On Tuesday, June 21st, how many of you have questions that you would like to ask me? Well, you can call in live. I have a call in live show every third Tuesday, and that number is, you ready? 605-562-3140, and the access code is 533-677. And if you forget, you can go to LRARadioNetwork.com and just click on live shows and get that number. So call in and ask me about anything, about the Law of Attraction, about relationships, about some steps that you should take, about how to begin creating the life that you desire, whatever it is. Or if you want to email me, if you're shy, you know, there are so many people on the call, they don't say anything. But if you're shy, email me your question at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com. And while you're doing that, while you're on my website, if this show, I'm not going to say if, but I know this show is blessing you, is shifting you, is feeding you, is nourishing you, is changing your life, then go to fulfillingyourpurpose.com and just click the red donate button, and I'm thanking you in advance. And lastly, if you're interested in coaching with me, if you feel connected to me by the Spirit, it has to be a connection. If you understand how powerful having 25 years of a clinical counseling background is, and my extensive business background, and my strategic mindset, I don't know why God made me that way, and the spiritual component of coaching, if you are ready for change, if you are ready to make the investment time-wise and financially, then email me at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com and let's talk. Let's see, how much time do I have? Okay, I want to talk about my tip for today. And my tip for today is God multiplies small things. And you know, you've heard me talk about baby steps. How often, almost every week, I'm talking about taking a baby step, how important that is. So never underestimate the power of small things. I guess about 2 months ago, I taught on how to create rituals by taking small baby steps. And one of my clients, Matt, I'm giving you a shout out. Matt owns his own business. And the small baby step that he took was he's making up his bed. He's trying to make his coach look bad because I'm still not making up my bed. But he has been making up his bed for probably over 30 days now. And I shared with him that just making up his bed will impact his business. Why? Because everything is connected, and because God multiplies even just what we think is so small. And that's why I think it's so important that wherever you want change, to understand the power of repetition, that you can master and create anything through repetition of small baby steps. And some of you try to start too big and you start with a big boom, but then you don't have consistency. I heard Joyce Meyer, who is just a powerful Bible teacher. She talked about, I think she's about 70. She had never exercised in her life, and she said she just made up her mind, I think it was last year, that she was going to begin exercising. She started off with 15 minutes and she was just like, oh my God, I'm too busy. I travel too much. She said she just had too many excuses. You know, Dr. Wayne Dyer had a book entitled No More Excuses. And so I'm sure she has a very intense and hectic schedule, but she made up her mind that she was going to do what? Take small baby steps. Why? Because God multiplies small things. So she started off with 15 minutes a day, and she was sharing that I think a year has gone by, and now she's doing 5 miles a day. Where did that begin? It began with small baby steps. And what happens is the law of momentum kicks in. And then she says now she's addicted to exercise. If she's not exercising every day, then she just feels weird. So she exercises 5 miles a day for cardio. And then she does, I think, 3 times a week for strength building. So some of you are just doing too many things. I'm going to say to you, choose one area of your life. Maybe it's money, attracting love, unforgiveness. I mean, I don't know what that is. And just begin working on that, because in order to bring about change, it takes time, because the way you are now has taken years. It's years of experiences, years of emotions, years of feelings. And the undoing of that will take time. But the interesting thing is that once you begin, that God will begin to multiply even those small changes. So I'll use me for an example. I have been really studying lately on the mind and the brain. So I've been listening to Dr. Joe Dispenza. So I'll listen to a YouTube video and then I'll take notes and then I'll think about it. And then I'll read some from his book and then I'll take notes and then I'll think about it. And then I'll think about how can I use that in my life or where do I need to shift and change. I'm not really studying anything else but that right now. The Spirit has me on the mind and the brain right now. I may study that and really embrace that and embody that for the next 90 days. And so I'm saying that choose one area and just every day take small baby steps. Read about it. Study about it. Take action steps. Listen to things on YouTube. Go to free classes. Join a mastermind group in that one area. And then watch and see how much God begins to multiply and shift and change you, and the law of momentum will kick in. You know, if you really want something, you can master it through repetition. So what's repetition? Doing the same thing over and over and over again in small baby steps. You know, I know of another person, one of my clients who was, you know, she was in the process of losing weight. So she was trying to exercise every day and a real strict low-carb diet, and she really was getting lightheaded. And I said, no. Let's start with baby steps. So we started with 10 to 15 minutes a day of her just studying about people who had been successful in weight release. I mean, she was on YouTube. I gave her some other people of who had lost 100 pounds. So we didn't change her diet. We did not have her to exercise. Why? Because all change begins in small steps, and we were dealing from the inside out. So for the first 30 days, all she did was read about people who had lost 100 pounds. So what was I doing? I was changing that image on the inside of her. She was changing her thinking. She was changing her vision. She was changing her consciousness. And then what happened? She was ready. We started off with 15 minutes in exercise. We customized her a eating plan, and the rest is history. 98 pounds later. So what's my tip for this week? Choose one area. You've heard me say this again. Start with small baby steps. Stick with it, you know, for the next 30, 60, 90 days. And then let your mantra be, God is multiplying my baby steps. Ooh, that's exciting. Well, let me go through this quick commercial because I want to get right back with Mr. Steve Rogers. Okay, so stay tuned.
For the past 30 years, Constance Arnold has coached clients globally in the areas of relationships, wealth, and career. Her vast clinical background gives her extraordinary understanding of human behavior to accelerate manifestation. Every coaching client receives proven action plans to create change from the inside out. Constance will be right by your side. Talk to her today. at Constance at fulfillingyourpurpose.com.
Well, I am back and I'm really excited about my guest today. And I know what you are saying. You are thinking, Constance, you say that every week, and every week I am excited and grateful for what the Spirit is bringing to you all over the globe. And my very special guest today is Steve Rogers, and he is a business lifestyle consultant and author, and he is a leader helping others discover, maximize, and increase their highest good and purpose in life and business, and we all need that. So Steve's extraordinarily successful career spans being the CEO of a real estate firm generating $25 billion, that's billion folks, in annual sales, almost 40,000 transactions, and managing a team of over 4,600 agents, starting and running his own ultra successful real estate company and collaborating with the elite. So one of Steve's career highlights was meeting and working for Warren Buffett for many years. That sounds interesting. And his inner circle includes many great leaders such as John Esseroff, Brian Tracy, Marshall Goldsmith, and Mark Thompson. And what I like about Steve, and he and I had a brief conversation prior to that, is that he really has a heart and a spirit of really helping people reach their highest good. And, you know, that's what God wants for all of us. So, Steve Rogers, welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
And it's a pleasure to be here, Constance. Thank you so much for having me.
Wow, what an interesting life you've had.
Well, when you read it that way, it did sound a little interesting to me, too. I'm like, wow, did I really do that?
We didn't hear about all the trials and tribulations and all the challenges that you had. We just heard about all the wonderful things. So you live in California, is that right?
Yes, I live in San Diego County in a town called Encinitas, which is right on the coast and the beach north of a little area a lot of people know of Del Mar, California, which is where they have a lot of horse racing and festivals and various things.
And so just this week, you had a wonderful gift of a new grandson. Tell us about that.
A new grandson. Thank you. Yes, it was so exciting. My daughter, her first baby, went into labor on Saturday afternoon and went and finally, she was probably in about 30 or 36 hours of labor and finally had the baby very, very late Sunday evening. Mm-hmm. So it was a Sunday baby. And he came in at 7 pounds, 8 ounces. And his name is Cove, C-O-V-E, Augustine, Cove Augustine Mendoza. And they were thrilled. Baby's happy and healthy. Mommy and daddy are happy and healthy. And grandma and grandpa, which were called Poppy and Bubby, are more than over the moon because we get the easy part. We just got to go home after we got to hold the baby. And we'll go back and only do the fun stuff.
Right. And I'm so excited about having you on the show because, Steve, we have listeners all over the world, you know, really on all continents, and you have a lot that you can share. So just share briefly a little bit about your story, your journey, and then we're going to be talking to people about how they can move from fear to empowerment and greater success.
Sure. Well, definitely in my bio, you covered some highlights, but I've been in two major industries now. Actually, I'm just, I guess, in the third. But I started out as a teenager in the restaurant and hotel industry, and that was a great learning ground for me of being of service and being of service to others, literally waiting on people and bartending and then managing restaurants and hotels and dinner theaters. So I really learned the mentality of being of service to others and how valuable that is, no matter what you're doing. When I switched over to real estate in my late 20s, I found out that that was a path for me that really gave me a really fluid ability to use all of my skills and also to start making a lot more money than I had been making in the restaurant business. So that was nice to be able to up my price, so to speak. And that became a great training ground for me and a learning ground. But I carried over that mentality of being of service to others and kept that throughout my entire career. And I still keep it to this day, even when I finally became the CEO of Prudential California Realty in Southern California. I still felt I was a servant leader. a leader of being of service. And so that's kind of served me all through. But I went from being in sales and I sold houses and, you know, helped people buy and sell houses for a few years. But then I quickly led over to the management side of things. And over the years of my career, I went from management to executive leadership. And as you mentioned, Warren Buffett, he bought the franchise division that we were part of. So we own the people that I worked for owned a company in Southern California called Prudential California Realty that started in San Diego. That company eventually grew to be all of Southern California. We were in Los Angeles, Orange County, Santa Barbara. And Warren Buffett owns a division called Home Services of America. And he bought our overall company in 2001. So I worked for the Warren Buffett Home Service Companies as an executive leader from 2001 till 2008. And there were many, many highs and lows in that process. And so that ended up where I became the CEO of that company. And it was a very large company, as you mentioned, some of the numbers. But I learned an amazing amount of things in dealing with people and grooming people and learning from people and leading people. And then that led to me leaving in 2008. I started my own real estate company in one of the worst markets that existed that I worked in.
2008. I remember that year.
Yeah, it was a brutal year. And then I started my company in January of 2009. And I ran that company for 5 years. We grew that up to 8 offices and around 400 real estate people in San Diego. And I had some things happen in my life with my wife's health and with some things within the real estate industry and within my company. And I made a decision that I was being called to do something different. And about a year and a half ago, I phased out of that and I started a company called Alchemy Advisors. And Alchemy Advisors is in the business of helping people transition, transform, and evolve to their highest good. So that's what I'm doing now.
Wow, that's very powerful. Well, you know, everybody wants, I told a lot of my friends that I was interviewing you and they all want to know, well, ask him, what was it like to work with Warren Buffett? So I have to ask you that before we start talking about how people can move from where they are to where they desire to be. What was that experience like for you? And what was one of the greatest lessons you learned?
Yeah, it was a thrill. I mean, I have to say, the first time I met Warren Buffett, you know, and walked into the room, there was probably around 30 or so of us in a cocktail party that he was coming to, and then he was speaking at a dinner that we were at afterwards when we first joined the company. And, he, you know, it's so funny when you meet someone who's got such celebrity. You know, I've met a lot of different celebrity high people before, and they've just got this aura around them because you already know they're famous and you've seen them in the paper, you've seen them on the news, you have a perception of. So I already had this glorified view of the, you know, one of the richest men in the world who was also humble and was doing a lot of good work. But when I met Warren Buffett, it was funny. It was like walking into a room and seeing somebody's grandpa in a bad JCPenney suit, you know, because he's just looks like that. He's got these big glasses and they're kind of dirty and kind of crooked and he's got a little hair growing out of his ears and he's, you know, just very unassuming. But his aura of who he is beyond that, I knew he was a celebrity when I met him. He's just so comfortable in his own skin. Like when you shake his hand and you speak to him, you know, he's got this presence around him that just has this calmness of who he is in his own being. And he can talk about anything from, you know, stock market to Social Security to China to Cherry Cokes to baseball to Omaha Steaks. And he just makes you feel at such ease. And it was really a pleasure meeting him. I never directly answered to him in a daily ability in my working with him, but the people that I answered to, you know, that I managed on a worked with on a daily and weekly basis, you know, were two or three people away from Warren Buffett. And I met him numerous times at events and leadership events and things throughout my years that I was there. And it was a highlight. He was a great, he's a very unassuming leader. He's not a high dictatorial guy, but the people under him really want to make him happy and prove that they can accomplish the things that need to be accomplished. But he knows his stuff. I mean, he is very, very, very well versed on all his companies. He knows the industries that he has purchased inside and out. And one of the things I learned from him is to be aware, completely aware and know your craft and know your industry inside and out better than anybody else and be prepared to make changes when changes are needed. And he was just a great example of making sure that you knew your craft. And I remember being at the Berkshire Hathaway shareholder conferences with him, and there'd be 20,000 people in the audience of all his shareholders that he had that would come from all over the world. And he'd sit in front of the room with his partner, Charlie Munger. These, you know, two guys are in their 70s and they are just as sharp as a tack. And they answer questions for 3 or 4 hours from the audience about anything you could possibly imagine. And they just answered off the top of their head, you know, about some of these things I said, you know, stock market, China, government, the industries in which they ran, and they just knew the answer. So I learned very much how important it was to be prepared and to know your craft.
Well, let's talk to people all over the world, you know, people who might feel that I'm just an ordinary person. So, Steve, we're going to be talking about how to move from fear to empowerment and greater success. So what are some principles or some universal laws or some consciousness that people really need to understand in order to begin to shift and change their lives?
Well, that's a great question. And I think we're all just a regular, ordinary person until we're extraordinary. And I think everybody has the ability to be extraordinary in whatever it is they do, what they want to do. It doesn't mean that everyone has to be a Warren Buffett or everyone has to be an Oprah Winfrey or everyone has to be, you know, something that's of popularity or celebrity. What that means to me is you have to be the absolute very best it is and what it is you want to do with your life, whether that's being a teacher, whether that's being a musician, whether that's being a waiter, whether that's being a mechanic, you know, whatever it is, that path is that you're on, find out how to be the absolute best that you can possibly be in that space and then be of service to others and make an impact in a small way on a daily basis, being of value to others and realizing that you are worthy. You know, even though we sometimes look at ourselves as ordinary people, that we're not all of these celebrity things and maybe we're not multimillionaires and those things, I can completely relate to transforming your life to what you want to be. You know, I'm a guy that barely graduated high school. I moved out of my house when I was 17 years old. I had a very strong disciplinarian father, and he was a military guy, but he was very strong-armed, and he had a rule in his house that said, this is my house, these are my rules, and if you don't like them, you can leave. So, I got his thinking, and so I ended up leaving when I was 17, and I tried to go to college for a few years, but I never ended up graduating college, and I, you know, stayed in the restaurant business, and eventually I got into the real estate business, and I did not need a college degree to be in the real estate business, and a lot of times in this world of being an entrepreneur these days, you don't need college degrees. I applaud people that have them. I applaud people who are academic and disciplined enough to stay in and get their degrees, but it's not necessary and all paths people take. So, you know, to be a guy that barely graduated high school and to be able to, you know, rise through the food chain of a company and become a Warren Buffett CEO, all things are possible. And so I think one of the basic principles of that is I always believed I was worthy, even though I've had my self-doubts and I've had my, you know, my issues, and I've had been bullied and I have been poor and I have been fat and I have been unhealthy and I've been all those things. I also somehow deep inside believed I was worthy and that the universe and God was calling me to a higher purpose. And my job was to find out what that was and to do the very best I could to stay on that path and to do the hard work to make those things happen.
So what are some of the fears that you see in the lives of people and how do they shift and change that?
Well, a lot of people have the fear of failing. They don't want to try things and they don't want to push themselves to the to the next level because they're comfortable doing what they're doing. They're in a current management job. Maybe they're in a secretarial job. Maybe they're in an executive assistant job. Maybe they're in a teaching job, but they really wanted to become a professor, whatever it might be. The fear of failing and the fear of having people judge you is something that really holds people back. And I think that if people realize that, you know, people don't think about us near as much as we think we're thinking about them. I mean, you know, we're always fearful of what other people think. But what happens in the reality of humanity is most people are worried about themselves and what their own life is. They're not out always worrying about you and putting as much energy in it as you are about what you think people think about you. But there is a fear of failure. How will I look? What happens if I don't make it? What happens if I can't do it? What happens if I lose out on things because I'm taking this risk? But I find that fear of that is a biggie. The other one on the opposite coin of that is the fear of success. Some people just absolutely subconsciously don't even know this, but they are fearful of success and they sabotage them from getting to certain levels of success. They get to a certain point and then they don't get past the next glass ceiling because in their consciousness, subconsciousness, they have been growing up with a mentality that they weren't worthy, that they weren't good enough. Maybe they had a parent or a sibling or a brother or an aunt or the community in general that told them that they weren't of value, that they weren't going to be good enough, or they weren't good enough. And sometimes that fear of success, because they don't think they're worthy, and if they can handle it, prevents them also from going to the next level. So it's an interesting psychology of subconscious mind and the power of what that does to propel you forward or not propel you forward.
Expound more on the subconscious mind, and what role does that play for listeners in really creating empowerment and greater success?
Yeah, well, you know, the subconscious mind is something that is constantly working. It's like having background music. You know, let's say if you're working on your computer and you have jazz music or something playing in the background constantly as you're working, the subconscious mind is always working as well. And consciously, on a daily basis, we're getting up, we're getting ready, we might be exercising, we eat, we get in our car, we drive to work. We consciously are doing things. But the subconscious mind, just like, you know, the jazz music or rap music or whatever it is that's playing in the background, is always working for us. And we sometimes tune it out because we don't even realize that it's playing any longer. But the subconscious mind comes from something we all have. I mean, just like if you look at the way the Mother Nature's made up, light and dark, hot and cold, you know, the ebb and flow of the ocean coming in and out. The subconscious mind is something that all of us has, and it's positive and negative. The problem is the negativeness of the subconscious mind sometimes outweighs the positive, because it's a very strong consciousness that happens in the ability to be able to, excuse me, just one second.
Mm-hmm. No problem.
This is
live radio, folks.
So sorry about that.
No problem.
Sorry about that. So the subconscious mind is, you know, something that's constantly playing. And what I have found with myself is I have to continually reprogram the conscious mind. And the way I do that is I make sure that I understand that these negative tapes that I have been playing. And the way I found out what those were is when I do my journaling or I do my writing or I do my goal setting, I am constantly looking at where I'm positive and where I'm negative. And what I can do to overcome that negativity in my life. So I write a lot. I do a lot of goal setting and writing. But I find out where I have some self-doubts, you know, and where those self-doubts are. And we all know when we beat ourselves up what those tapes are that's playing in our head. It's like a little monkey on our shoulder that is, you know, telling us that we're not good enough. We're too fat. We're too skinny. We're too poor. We're too rich. We're not pretty enough. Whatever it might be, we have these tapes playing in us. And so the way I do that is I make sure that I overcome that by being aware of what my self-doubts and negative consciousness is. And I override that by writing, by reading in my goals into my recorder on my iPhone, and I listen to them out loud and I record those to music. I put affirmations up on my wall in my office and I write down about who I am and what I'm creating to remind myself that even though I have self-doubts that I was, you know, again, I didn't have a college degree, I was too fat, I was too poor, whatever it was that I had, and I had those tapes for many years, I finally started reprogramming that subconscious mind so that my positive thinking about my life was consciously running in the background, and the music that I was playing was a different type of music, and it was a much more positive environment in my mind and in my psyche as to what I was creating.
Oh, that's very powerful. And, you know, so once people identify their fears, I heard you mention goals. Talk about once people have identified their fears and then they say, okay, this is what I want. Expound on intention and writing down your goals. How important is that?
Yeah, to me, that is crucial. There's a, you know, great book that many people on this radio show may have read, and if you haven't, I highly recommend it. But it's Think and Grow Rich. It's a very old book. You know, it was written by Napoleon Hill, and to me, that was the original foundation of the entire self-help personal growth movement. And he interviewed in the 20s and 30s and 40s, you know, all the rich and successful people that were not just rich and successful monetarily, but they were rich and successful in the power of who they were in their own consciousness of beings. And he writes in The Power of Think and Grow Rich that whether it's your health, your relationships, your career, your higher purpose, about the power and the intention of writing things down. So once you know what your fears are and what your dreams are, and those are two very powerful things, the power of writing those down and putting them into a chunkable type situation, meaning I chunk those down into categories, and I break those down into typically seven categories that are mental and physical and spiritual and monetary, and I talk about that in my book. But once you write those down, there's something about the power of the act of writing that stimulates the universe at a deeper level that starts making the universe conspire and start working towards your success. many of us think about goals in our mind, and we think about things that we want, and we can think about it. Some of us articulate it. Some of us will speak it out live to the world, to others, a friend, an associate. Some of us actually do jot them down. But if you actually jot them down and write them in a clear, specific way, and it's, you know, it's not something I formulated, but Peter Drucker was very famous about talking about SMART goals. And SMART goals are where they have to be specific, they have to be measurable, they have to be attainable, they have to be realistic, and they have to have a timeline around them so that you're actually making your goals very specific down in these categories, and then you take the action necessary on a daily basis to start chunking those out. So let's say someone wants to get another degree, or they want to find a new relationship, or they want to have a better relationship with their child, or whatever it might be. Well, writing that down is one thing, but then writing down the action steps that are the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 things that you could do to make that a reality, and then putting a timeline down it on specific as to when that little baby step has to happen, that's what starts generating the universe. And what happens is you start getting the snowball effect where things just start happening and they start coming to you, and you're much more aware of the universe working in your favor to create that as a reality.
You know, that's so powerful, because I love it that you said take small baby steps, because a lot of people have their goals written down, but they aren't doing anything. And I love it when you say you take X small baby steps. Did I hear you say that you read your goals out loud every day?
Yes, I wouldn't say that. I don't do it every day, but I do it frequently. And when I first started creating, when I'm at the beginning of any goal, like when I started my company, when I started wanting to write my book, at the beginning of the process, I am doing it pretty much every day. Anytime I'm really doing something that is like monumental, like I became a vegan 1.5 years ago, and that was monumental to become a vegan and to stop eating sugar and white flour and eggs and all that. Every single day I was focused on my goals and writing them and taking the action steps. So when I first start the process of getting into the momentum, it is an intensive thing that I do it every day. Once I start getting into the rhythm and the ball's rolling, then I might do it once a week or 2 or 3 times a month, whatever it might be. But what I do is I write down all of my goals. Every year my wife and I go on a retreat, and we do it between Christmas and New Year's, and we make our entire year's goals for ourselves and ourselves as a couple. And we write them down for all the categories of our money, our family, our spirituality. And then she has her goals, I have my goals. And then we have couple goals. We put them on flip charts, and then we take pictures of them with our iPad. And then I take those and I write those down in my own journal. And then I'll put them into my iPhone, where I make them into chunkable items. I then put calendar reminders of things I'm supposed to accomplish. Let's say I'm supposed to take a class, or I'm supposed to attend a workshop, or I'm supposed to call somebody and set up an appointment to do something to make something happen. I then put all of the goal action items into my calendar, so it's an appointment with myself to take that action step. And then I sit in my car in the driveway, and I turn on some very nice, light, classical, cool music in the background, or some jazz music. And I read all of my goals into my iPhone, into my audio phone, into chunks. They might be 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and I chunk them out into audio files. And then what I do is when I run or I work out or I'm in my office, whatever it might be, I listen to those in my headphone. So I'm actually listening to myself, reading my goals into my mind, into my psyche with my voice. And I do that. I've been doing that for 6 or 7 or 8 years now, and I've got a collection of those audios from over all the years. So I've got my written file and my audio file.
Well, you know, I had one of my mentors said that we have 2 ears, an outer ear and an inner ear, and that when you hear yourself speak something, that your inner spirit believes it. And so for listeners, that's one really universal principles that you can easily implement into your life. All of us have smartphones, and we can just record. And I do the same thing, Stephen. It's a very powerful process, because you're hearing yourself, you're speaking it out loud. It's coming from a powerful place from your spirit, and it's accomplishing things that we can't even fathom universally.
Agreed, 100%. It's a very powerful act. And I don't know exactly how it all works, but I know that it works. It's just like I don't know how gravity works per se, but I know if I, you know, hold an apple in the air and let it drop, it's going to fall to the ground. And there's something about the universal principles that the power of energy, and all of our lives are made up of energy and sound waves and different ways that, you know, if you think about Wi-Fi, you know, I don't really know exactly how Wi-Fi works. And if I turn on my iPad in a Starbucks and I connect to something out of thin air, I can connect to the global world and search anything that I wanted. I'm not really sure I understand how all that works, but I know it works. So in the consciousness of our mind to me is like a Wi-Fi. It's like when you're turning on your Wi-Fi signal and you've got a strong signal, the act of writing things down, speaking things out, and changing your inner ear and outer ear and being aware of that every day makes your Wi-Fi signal much stronger to the source, which I call God, and then power of universe and Mother Nature. But when you're doing it, you're being very clearly, strongly creating the magnetic energy that needs to happen to attract things in life that you need to achieve the goals in which you say you want to achieve.
Well, let's talk about God and spirituality. What role does that play in your life personally? And how important do you feel that spirituality and a relationship with God is in creating greater success?
Well, to me, it's the ultimate relationship, and it's the ultimate thing that is really what my highest purpose is here to do. I mean, I have had success. I've had failure. I've had money. I've had no money. I've been in a marriage for 25 years, and I've had highs and lows of being in a marriage. I have children, and now I have grandchildren. And those are all wonderful, great things to have in life. But at the end of the day, you know, we come into this planet alone, and we will leave this planet alone. And the only thing that's constant throughout all of those relationships before and after death, and also while we're on the planet, is our relationship with a higher power or source. You know, I believe that I come from God, and I believe I go back to God's energy, and I believe that the universe is made up of all this energy. So I realize that my relationship with myself and God is the number one most important thing that I have to have of all relationships, including my wife and my children. So my relationship with my higher power is the strongest and most personal relationship I have, because it's on it. It's every second of every day. It's of every minute of every day. You know, my wife and I have a relationship, of course, but she goes on with her day. I go on with my day. We, you know, work and we do things and we come back and we're, you know, we're not, you know, we are two different human beings. And same with my children. My children go on with their lives. They have their own lives. They go to school. Now my daughter's having a child. They have their own lives. But my daily relationship of my communication, my prayer, my meditation, the energy as to what I do when I'm doing my daily life, good, bad, or challenging or successful, is always in a conscious where I feel like God is right in my presence with me at all times. And that's a very personal relationship to have. So the more I can strengthen that relationship, and to me, my biggest success is strengthening that relationship and making it even more viable and aware during the tough times and during the good times. And that ultimately my source of meditation and prayer is really where it's always constant. It's more important to me than money. It's more important to me than status. It's more important to me than any successes I will have. But I know it's a necessary element as to what makes this world function. The way we communicate with God is by expressing back our highest purpose and highest good. And I think God in the universe takes great joy is when we're maximizing our greatest being, just like when a walnut tree becomes a walnut tree, or a flower becomes a flower, or a bird flies, or a turtle crawls on the ground. You know, those things are being what they're supposed to be. And when I think us as human spiritual beings are fulfilling our highest purpose and being what we're supposed to be, that's the greatest gift and glory we can give back to the creation of the universe, which put us here in the first place.
So true. So true. And so share with our listeners, you know, what was one of the greatest challenges that you had in your life, and how did your relationship with God really bring you through that? And the reason I'm asking you this, because you made tons of money, and most people think, if I just had money, if I was just rich like Steve, then I would be happy. But all of us have challenges in life. Challenge occurred in your life, and really it was your relationship with God that really brought you through that?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. There's so many. Well, since you're thinking about being rich, you know, I have been rich and not rich. And, you know, when I climbed the ladder of Prudential California Realty and became the CEO, I had houses and cars and boats and all of that. But when I left that company, I actually left and got forced out. I'd been at that company for 15 years. And when the real estate market started crashing in 2000 and end of 7 and into 8, I had become the COO and then the CEO in 2005 or 6. And the company was making lots and lots of money. I was making a lot of money. But the real estate market started crashing. And in California, when things drop, they drop hard. And it was a big piece of the home services Berkshire Hathaway network. And so I ended up having to lay off, close offices and fire. We had about 105 offices at that point, and I had help with my team, ended up closing almost 40 offices within an 18-month period. So a lot of people got fired, a lot of budgets got cut, and we ended up losing a lot of money, and the markets were going to hell in a handbasket. And a week before Christmas, I then got fired, and I got pushed out as the CEO. Although I had a severance package I could have taken, I ended up walking away from the severance package because I would have had a non-compete, non-solicitation to be able to go out and start another real estate company. And I knew that was something I really wanted to do if I ever ended up getting fired or quit or whatever my plan was going to be. So I walked away from a lot of money, and all of the real estate that I had already been depressed and depreciated because the market was in a hell in a handbasket. So I walked away with very little wealth and went out and had to pick myself up from the bootstraps in a down real estate market to create more wealth, and went through highs and lows over that process of time. I have had the challenges of having boats and status and cars and drivers to then going down to having nothing. The good news is I was happy through all of it. Mm-hmm. I found a way that I realized that the thing I was most proud of myself in that entire process, that when I did get fired, I realized, and I told myself, if I ever got fired or I ever quit, that I was hoping that the status that I achieved of being a CEO, of having big houses and having a boat and all of those things, that they had not defined me. I enjoyed them. I was enjoying them in the process. But I also realized in the back of my mind, I hope this doesn't define who I am. And if these things get taken away, or if I choose to take a different path, that I will be unhappy if I don't have them. And when I got fired, I realized that I am not my title. I am not my paycheck. I am not what's in my bank account. And I ended up remaining extremely happy through the challenging times that I had. And I realized a very valuable lesson that you are not your stuff. And stuff can be acquired and stuff can be earned. And it does make life a little easier. Don't get me wrong. I've had money and I haven't had money. And I like having money, but I'm happy in either process because I have a relationship with God and I have a relationship with myself and I'm my own best friend. I find that that's just fleeting stuff. And so that was a really great lesson and a challenging lesson to go through, but a very valuable lesson to have.
Wow, that's amazing. You know, I love the place from which you live your life, and I just hear gratitude all over the place. So what role does being grateful or thankful play in creating greater success? Because, man, when you have a lot of money and you're healthy and things are going well, it is sometimes easier to be grateful. So for listeners who might not be feeling great about where they are right now, who might be struggling, talk about the power of gratitude and thanksgiving.
Yeah, that is a really, really powerful one. Gratitude, I start my morning as soon as I wake up in the morning, literally once my eyes open, I start my gratitude affirmations. I'm, thankful for the day, thankful for the sun, thankful for living in the United States, thankful for living in California, thankful for having a bed and a home and food to eat and people that love me, and thankful for my dog and golden retriever, Olivia. I mean, I go through a complete gratitude every single day of, when I'm riding my bike or driving in my car down the coast, I go through a laundry list of A to Z of what I'm grateful for. And some days, it's hard to have a grateful list when you have tons of pressure on you of things mm-hmm. that aren't going right, accounts that didn't come together, financial losses that you've had, if your wife is mad at you, whatever it might be, or you're having tragedies in your life. A year and a half ago, my wife had a very unexpected fluke medical issue and almost died. And was in the hospital for 3 weeks, almost a month, was in a coma for a few weeks. And I still found a way to get up every day and be at the hospital and still be in gratitude and be in great gratitude of what was happening around me. So gratitude is a very, very powerful thing. And the monetary stuff is nice. Don't get me wrong. But I know a lot of people that I've met over the years being a CEO and being in real estate specifically, because real estate is a very high stakes game. So a lot of my real estate agents were making $200,000, $300,000, $500,000, $1 million, $2 million a year. These people were making money. And then a lot of our clients, you know, in Southern California, it's a fairly affluent area. You know, some of these clients were buying $2 million, $5 million, $10 million, $20 million houses. But I will tell you, there is a lot of people with money that are not happy. It doesn't mean they're not driven. It doesn't mean they're not successful in the material world of business. But some people are so driven by the power and need for money that they're trying to fill the hole in their soul with money and with success and status, and they can never get enough of it. And so what happens is they realize when they get to a certain level and they thought that if this much was in their bank account, they would be happier. And they find that that's not always the case. And it sometimes creates more depression and more unfulfilling life because it becomes an empty place. And there is a lot of wealthy people out there that are not happy and that are not fulfilled. And I don't think you have to be poor to be happy. Don't get that thinking. But there has to be a place of this gratitude concept, that being grateful for being in the present moment every day of where you are, for what you have and what you don't have. Many times I'm grateful for things I don't have that I thought I wanted. So I'm a big believer in that gratitude consciousness.
So you have a powerful inner circle. What would you say to people who might at this very moment might feel isolated? And is it important to develop powerful relationships, friendships, or possibly become a part of a mastermind group?
Yeah, and I think many of us can feel isolated. You know, this day and age of technology and social media, sometimes it makes us feel more connected and more distant than ever before.
Yeah.
Because what happens with social media and the power of the internet is we start judging ourselves even further. Even though we can click out in a second and email somebody or private text somebody or be on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, and you could reach out to as many people as you wanted, a lot of times people are feeling unfulfilled in that, and they're judging themselves for the stuff they see these people that have these perfect lives. Well, they're going on vacation. I'm not going on vacation. Oh, look how happy their kids look. Well, the social media, sometimes people are posting a lot of stuff that's really just a good part of their life. They're not always posting the other side of their lives as well. That being said, the importance, though, of reaching out and not being isolated is really key. So I'm a big believer in coaching. I'm a big believer in someone having a coach or a mastermind partner if they can't afford a coach, sometimes partnering up with someone else just to share your goals and keep yourselves accountable. And then being part of a mastermind group is where people are like-minded people, whether that's through a church, whether that's through an association, whether that's through an online Facebook group or a LinkedIn group. The power of having other ways to brainstorm with others and bounce your ideas off of them and have people be aligned to what your goals are and you're aligned to those is a very powerful thing, because we are much stronger together in a union than we are individually. And I do believe that's a powerful thing to become a part of and reaching out. And I do, you know, believe that successful people, if you reach out to them, are much more open to being of value to you than you would imagine. Some of the people that I have friendships with that you mentioned earlier, Brian Tracy, Marshall Goldsmith, John Assaroff, various people like that, Mark Thompson, Greg Reed, these are people that I reached out to or met at a certain thing, and I continued to follow up with them. And I like them, I like their energy, and so I just made the effort to realize that these are people I wanted to know more of. And I thought, you know, maybe if I was interesting enough that they'd want to know more about me. And I figured that I was an interesting enough person that, you know, if I shared my vulnerability and my desire for what I was trying to be of value to them or others, that it could form relationships. And so I have formed some really good, solid relationships over the years. But if I didn't think I was worthy of doing that, if I didn't think that I could go up and talk to somebody or ask somebody for their phone number or email address or, you know, follow up with them on LinkedIn or send them a private message, whatever it might be, I would have never formed these relationships. So I think you have to reach out and make yourself vulnerable to go out and reach out to others and make yourself of value and of service to others as well.
Well, you know, speaking of value, you said earlier during the recording that you learned early about serving and yes, adding value. So for listeners, how important is maybe somebody who has a great idea? I hear so many people say, I just want to be a wealthy and rich. Talk about the role of serving and adding value.
Well, I think that's something that all of us have a responsibility to do. I think it's part of what defines who we are. And I think it's ultimately how you find the most joy in life. of being of service to others. I mean, you know, it's better, I didn't make up the phrase, but everyone has heard it's better to give than receive. Mm-hmm. And I think what that means is find out what your gift is and find a way to give that out initially, even if it has to be for free. You know, if you're a painter, if you're a photographer, if you're a singer, if you're a teacher, if you're a mathematician, whatever it might be, sometimes being of service to others and just being of value and giving to them something without expecting anything in return is a way to share your gift. And so being of service to me means finding out on a daily basis how you can find little acts of kindness. And little acts of kindness are sometimes big acts of kindness that are of value to others just to be of value. And I think you will find that that leads to a lot of open doors, a lot of open windows, and it also leads to an open heart and a way to have great things come back to you. And it's not that that has to be your initial intention, but it is part of the process. I mean, part of creating anything in life, when you pay for something, you know, talking about Warren Buffett earlier, you know, he has a quote that says, price is what you pay, value is what you get. And it's just that simple. So whatever you think your value is, first find a way to make people aware of it. Find a way to give it away in a certain sense that you that people can see that what the value is. And then find a way to price it when it's time to price it and make it as best as it can possibly be. So the price they're paying is equal or greater. The value is equal or greater than what it is the prices they're paying. And then constantly upgrade your value. Find a way as a human and spiritual being and as a business person to always, always be increasing your value to others.
You know, that's so interesting. So I asked everybody this question that comes on my show. What's your thinking about the law of attraction and your thoughts and your beliefs attracting to you whatever you dominantly think and believe?
Well, I believe that, you know, it's back to the book Think and Grow Rich and to, my friend John Ashcroft that we talked about. You know, there was a great movie and book out called The Secret that was a phenomenon that many people have either read or probably seen the video. And it was a great It was a great book about the power of thinking and the power of thought and the power of affirmations and the power of dream boards. But it was only one element of it. What The Secret left out was a lot of the hard work that has to go into making those things happen, such as goals and written affirmations and taking daily activity and involving others and all of that stuff. John Ashcroft went on to write a book after The Secret, because he was interviewed in The Secret, called The Answer. And The Answer gets into some really specifics as well about some of the things we've been talking on the phone about today, about having a life plan, having written goals, all of those things. But the law of attraction to me is turning on your magnetic consciousness about what it is you want to create in life. And unless you have that absolutely spelled out in writing, on paper, and it's convicted and in a conviction that's strong, and you're reminding yourself and the universe every day that that's what you want, it's going to be really hard to attract that. And you have to have your flight plan mapped out. When you think about how people pilot planes, you know, I live in San Diego. So if I was flying from San Diego to New York, that's a destination. That plane and that map, you know, the mapping has been done for that they're going to take off from San Diego and they're going to go over so many states until they land in New York. But the way that computer programming is set up on that plane, it's on an autopilot. And the plane is off course 99% of the time until it continually courses correct every few minutes and it keeps bringing it back on course. Well, in our life, unless we know where we ultimately want to be, which is what our ultimate destination is, and we have that very clearly pinpointed, and no matter what we want to do in life, we keep getting back on track, and we continually course correcting, it's going to be easy to go off on all kinds of different directions and go down different rabbit holes because we're not staying convicted on our life course about what it is we've mapped out for ourselves in the law of attracting what we want.
Very powerful. So, Steve, kind of let our audience know, what are you doing now? Do you have any special events coming up? What are your services? How can they contact you? What is your website?
Yes, thank you. So my company is called Alchemy Advisors. And Alchemy Advisors, I came up with a few different reasons. I love the book The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho. Great book. I love the word alchemy. And I love that it stands for transition and transforming from something good to something better. So that's why I called my company Alchemy Advisors. The website is thealchemyadvisors.com, thealchemyadvisors.com. And that has videos, it has testimonials, it has my services. So I'm a consultant. I consult for companies and corporations and businesses that are looking to drive more profits, be more productive, and to find higher purpose. And I do that same thing for individuals on individual one-on-one coaching. So people that are trying to find higher purpose, they're trying to be more productivity, and they're probably trying to drive more profit in their business or life. So I do that. I just wrote a book. I think you mentioned that earlier. My book is playing up on the theme of alchemy, because the alchemist in the ancient days used to turn lead into gold, is what the fables say. So my book is called Lead to Gold, An Entrepreneurial's Guide Through Transition and Transformation. And it's part of the story we've been talking about today on this call. But it's also got a lot of steps and how-tos. They can find that book on Amazon under Lead to Gold, Stephen Rogers. You can also find it on my website, and it'll take you to the proper links to get there. And then my goal right now is that now that the book is launched, is I will be going into a free webinar series that starts at the end of June. And they'll be advertising that on my emails and Facebook. And the webinar will lead people into, if they want to upgrade and buy into, a 7-week course. And then I'll be doing a workshop later in the year, and I'll be doing 2 or 3 workshops a year. So my business practice is consulting, coaching, writing, workshops, and online education as well.
Well, you know, you have, I love your spirit, and you have a God-given gift that you're sharing with the world. And just some of the things for listeners, if you would just begin to implement and meditate on, and really receive a deep realization and download of just some of the principles that he shared today, I mean, their lives could be radically transformed, Steve.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, and I'm glad to be of service. And if that helps one person even take one little baby step further to what they're doing, then we've served our purpose for sure. So I hope people will take action and realize they are worthy of being all that they want to be, that they are here as gifts, and that if they take those gifts and they magnify them for others, not only will they create more joy in their lives, but they will leave this planet feeling more of high purpose to their higher power. And I think that they'll fulfill whatever destiny they were here to accomplish if they're much more aware of that on a daily basis.
Wow. You're awesome. It's been such an honor. Well, once again, this is Constance Arnold with the Think, Believe, and Manifest Talk Show. Remember, my website is fulfillingyourpurpose.com. And of course, you can email me at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com. And as I say every week, God loves you. You know I'm crazy about you, and I love you. And remember this, the best is yet to come.
Thank you for listening to Think, Believe, and Manifest. Constance Arnold will be back next week with another great show just for you. For more information, please visit fulfillingyourpurpose.com.